Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. Attaboy, WFAN, Jerry. WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, an Odyssey sports station.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
And we're coming to you live from the Millsport Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. Yankees continue to roll. Mets do win the series against the Twins, of course, but lose yesterday. It is August 1st. We've got the Hall of Fame game. We've got more training camp stuff. Rob Sala, Aaron Rodgers not on the same page, and Brian Cashman here on the radio station asking Brandon Tierney to pee into a cup and get drug tested for his takes on the Yankees. It never stops here at WFAN, no matter what month, what day, we roll around here. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, there's a lot of drama around here. We're like the women's gymnastic team.
Oh, my God.
I mean, everybody's sniping at each other, and I'm like, man, we should be proud. We all should be proud.
Well, it's just the one Michaela Skinner who did one YouTube video that she pulled down and apologized for. And she said, I guess she said some things about the team, saying that they were outside of Simone Biles, they're lazy and don't have it.
I mean, she was very supportive of Simone. I mean, how could you not be?
Yeah, right.
But but then everybody has to pile on. Everybody's got to jump in, and then the girls who did win the gold medal end up having to react to everybody else jumping in.
Well, it gave them extra motivation, I feel like. I feel like she was a catalyst to...
Catalyst
to get them going, you know? So it was great. But yeah, that's we always have drama around here, much like the women's gymnastics.
did Brandon Tierney... tell Brian Cashman that he didn't have the right to rebuild the Yankees?
I was hoping that he would, but they did not say that. And that would have been a tough thing to say. Like, if Brian Cashman comes on as a guest, you know, with the Yankees playing so well, and BT's like, you don't have the right to rebuild the Yankees in the way that they need to be rebuilt. So, no, he didn't do that.
Yeah.
But he did say, and the thing that got Brian Cashman, I'm sure that Jerry will have it at 6:25, but the thing that he said that got Brian Cashman very upset was BT did not believe that the Yankees were operating with the same type of urgency that they have in the past.
Urgency. They added Juan Soto before the season started.
Yeah.
They got three guys making over $30 million a year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of urgency.
And that was Brian Cashman's answer. Now, BT said, well, why'd you wait for Gallo to get rid of him? Why'd you wait to get rid of Hicks? All of these things. But then Brian Cashman counters with, we've got an MVP, a Cy Young Award winner, another guy who could be an MVP, and just talked about how they've invested in the team with big names. So, I mean, both of them are right. Like, the Yankees held on to Joey Gallo, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Hicks, and maybe Gleyber Torres too long. But Brian Cashman is also right. And hell, we re-signed Aaron Judge. We brought in Gerrit Cole. We brought in Juan Soto. We want to re-sign him. We signed Carlos Rodon, even though he stinks for the most part. We gave him a ton of money. So they're both right.
But
it's
really,
it's just how you see it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like anything else. I mean,
yeah.
And the other interesting thing is, you know, that David Sampson now, this is a former president of baseball operations, I guess.
Yeah, he is a Stugatz buddy, actually.
All right.
The last time that Stugatz, not this past week, but last year when Stugatz was in here, David Sampson came on the show because I guess he's a big, he fires a lot of, you know,
missiles,
fastballs, missiles. Yeah,
well, here you go. Well, I mean, like, you know,
Fyra.
He hates. I don't know him from Adam, but everything I read when he does something like what he did yesterday, I get the sense that he hates Derek Jeter.
Yeah,
he can't stand Derek Jeter. I don't know if they. I guess they worked together down there at the Marlins,
or so maybe then, David Sampson lost his job because of Derek Jeter.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but he hates Derek Jeter. I mean, whatever, with a passion. At least that's how I feel when I read what he says. And of course, he is throwing cold water all over the Jazz Chisholm signing for the Yankees or trade for the Yankees. And we're watching, and what we have seen is a guy that's been the Energizer Bunny since he's gotten here.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what the Yankees needed. They needed something to shake up the team, somebody to come in and be a little bit, you know, I'd like to say pee and vinegar. You know what I'm saying? That's what he is.
Sure.
You know, and I'm using the, when I say pee, I say the letter.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah,
so,
a lot of pee talk this morning. Pee in a cup, pee in vinegar.
Whatever. But yeah. I do think that, you know, and that's a hot take. And that's a guy who's no longer in baseball, as far as I know.
Right.
And maybe, you know, this is his way of getting back to people. And by the way, Chisholm wasn't there when he was there.
He wasn't? It didn't line up?
No, I think Chisholm came a year after Sampson left.
Okay.
So I don't know necessarily. I'm assuming he is still follows the Marlins and still, you know, is very much understanding of the way that organization is running. But why would you just throw complete cold water on that when, in fact, you know, these first four or five games, he's been perfect. He's been the perfect fit for them.
Yeah, I mean, he has been, I think, probably, like, think about it. Let's say the shoe was on the other foot and, you know, we're watching a Mets team that's having, let's pretend, I'm not saying they're having a bad year now. Let's say we're watching one of these bad years that the Mets have had in the past and they trade away a guy who was underachieving and then goes to a winning team and starts playing well. We would probably be saying, just wait. You know, you're getting a little burst out of him, but just wait. He's not the greatest thing since sliced bread. You got to see over an extended period of time. I mean, maybe that's what he's got more experience in watching him and knowing him.
But how about this, though? How about having a guy that probably has a very, very, I would say, positive feeling about himself, Chisholm the athlete, probably thinks of himself maybe better than some people see him.
Yeah.
And that's fine because you want confidence. You want attitude. You want expectations from the athlete himself, which I kind of feel like he has. It's a very small sample size, but I feel like there's an energy about him that can be a little bit off-putting. I could understand that if he were the main guy on a team.
Well, also,
when he comes here, he's not the main guy on the team.
He's not even close to being the main guy on the team.
That's what I'm saying. So this may be the best situation for him to flourish.
Exactly. And I think that's what it is. It's what the Yankees needed at this time. They needed a guy with a little bit of red ass, a chip on his shoulder. Someone's going to shake things up. And that's what he's done.
He's getting
along great with everybody. He's provided that energy, something we talk about with the Yankees and running the bases and stolen bases, and they never do that. And he's a guy that is a problem when he gets on the base path. So it's worked out great so far. But, you know, when we're talking about the postseason and the Yankees, this is what it's going to come down to. Is Aaron Judge going to be Aaron Judge? Is Giancarlo Stanton going to be flailing at sliders down and away? Is Jazz Chisholm going to be a problem in the clubhouse and throwing his glove down in the dugout and turning into the guy that the Marlins saw? I mean, that's really what the Yankees season is about. Is Juan Soto going to have a postseason like he had with the Nationals, or is he going to disappear? That's really what it's about at this point. Now that they've righted the ship, it's can this Yankee team look like this, like they have for the last five games in the playoffs?
100%. And like I've always told you, right now, what are the Yankees doing? What are they doing right now?
Peaking too early?
No.
Oh, I thought that's where you're going.
First of all.
You love a peak too early spot.
No, it's not a peak too early. They came out of their malaise, and now they are what?
Stabilized.
Winning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And what is winning?
Oh, winning's the deodorant of champions.
Well, there you go.
Right.
And when you win, everybody gets along, everybody's happy, everybody is smiling, as opposed to going through the grind like they have the last 6 weeks.
Right. So the Yankees also got off the road with dead carcasses to disaster.
Right.
And now they're winning, which is the deodorant of champions.
Right.
Exactly. So it's all coming together for us.
So, like, you have to understand where I'm coming from and understand how I see these things.
You know what I do? And that's what's happening right now with the Yankees. And, you know, he sat here for weeks. I even heard Tom Verducci that was on with BT and Sal from Joe Torre's golf tournament saying, I don't know how the Yankees turn around with this particular team. I have no idea because this guy stinks, that guy stinks, this guy looks like he's washed up. Well, you've got a combination of things. You've had guys who have been playing poorly, playing better. DJ LeMahieu last night, I don't know if it's going to continue, but
he's got a hot bat all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's got a hot bat. Carlos Rodon, couple of starts in a row. Very good. Then you add Chisholm, who comes in, and he's been a revelation for them. Giancarlo Stanton has come back. He hasn't been hitting a ton of home runs, but he hasn't been striking out a lot either. So, I mean, they're getting back to who they can be, but it is scary that we did see 6 weeks of horrendous baseball from them, and you just wonder if that's around the corner again.
Well, you hope that it isn't. You're hoping that they came out of that malaise and makes you realize that, dare I say it, that Aaron Boone navigated it and
properly.
He was like Magellan, way that he handled this whole thing.
Vasco da Gama.
Yes. Americo Vespucci.
I can't say Christopher Columbus. They've canceled him, right? Yeah, can't use that anymore.
Somebody has, I guess.
Yeah, so,
not everybody.
Yeah, not everybody. Some people have gotten rid of him.
Yeah.
You kind of have to say that now. Yeah, I mean, But it also, it kind of brings up the point that a lot of people would say with Aaron Boone is like, all right, when the players are playing well, he looks like he knows what he's doing. When they're not, he has no idea what to do.
You could say that about every manager and every coach.
Not necessarily.
You know what?
No. Not necessarily. I don't believe that.
I think
because I feel like Carlos Mendoza this year in a couple of spots, even when they were down, were doing things and tweaking things. He was.
I understand that, but again, when the players are playing like crap, the manager's gonna hear it because the fans are gonna be disgusted with the way that things look, especially when it's laziness or when there is a mistake that is made, a bonehead mistake on the base paths, when somebody runs through a stop sign at third base, or when somebody doesn't cover a base when they should be covering a base, or
that's
somebody
the thing.
Accountability
spot.
But all of that stuff happens when you're losing, and those are the tough moments for the manager, though, especially in this city for that team. And, you know, so here we are. They're, what, 5 in a row now?
Yeah.
And it's that team that we saw the first couple months of the season. And this is a 162-game season. There's going to be a lot of things that go on. And for this team in particular, with all the eyeballs, with all the opinions, with, you know, with all the people that cover the team and put, you know, leak stuff out and, you know, fighting with Brandon yesterday, Brian Cashman. I understand that.
Fighting might be a little strong, but pushing back.
Pushing back or standing tall or standing strong. I would do the same thing. And that's what they did in the offseason, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing in the offseason. Like, hey, man, you know, it's not easy to win World Series. We're trying to win every freaking year. We're spending the money to win.
Yeah, Brian Cashman, of course, had that infamous press conference from the GM meetings or the winter meetings, whatever it was, where he was cursing and defending the organization. He didn't go that far yesterday, but he did. He did have juice. I mean, there was no doubt about it that, you know, Brandon even texted this morning already saying how Cashman was good yesterday, and I heard most of it, better than he usually is. But I mean, that's the thing that gets Brian Cashman is when, and I think that's what got him in the winter and what got him yesterday is this idea that they're not trying hard enough.
Which is total BS. You know, maybe it's because they're not spending as much money as the Dodgers or the Mets. And that's what everybody else is comparing the Yankees to. But how many World Series did the Dodgers have after spending God knows how much money?
Just the COVID season one.
Right. So, a lot of this, is dependent, and we see this in every sport. I mean, I guess you could pencil in the Kansas City Chiefs for the Super Bowl, assuming that guys stay healthy.
Yeah.
And especially one Patrick Mahomes stays healthy. But again, it's still a long road before you can get there. And I know that Yankee fans get frustrated at times, especially with certain players. And we've talked about those players here incessantly. But they're built to win now. They are. And we all know that. And you can't have an all-star at every freaking position. They almost do already.
Yeah. I mean, especially now where there are owners that are conscious of the luxury tax. It's not a hard salary cap, but it is very, very, you can be penalized. Punitive is the word I was looking for. It can be very punitive if you go far past it. And no matter who you are, if you're a Steinbrenner, if you're a Cohen, if you're the group that owns the Dodgers, they don't want to deal with that. So, I mean, it you can't, I think some fans forget about that. Because they think that baseball is no salary cap. You can spend whatever you want. You're in New York. You're the Yankees. You're the Mets. I mean, there's massive, massive money that these guys lose if they go above these thresholds. And let's not forget, as much as we live in the sandbox and the playground and we love sports and we're talking about double plays and home runs and all this stuff, it's a business for these guys.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like for the Yankees or any of these baseball teams when they pierce the luxury tax threshold. Same thing could be said for the NBA when they get into that fourth apron or whatever. How many aprons
yeah,
are there?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, but it's like buying tickets on StubHub. You buy the tickets, and then you realize there's like 97 different, it feels like, there are 97 fees. Different fees and taxes and everything else associated with it. And then before you know it, what you thought you were spending was $100, you're spending $135.
Yep.
And that's exactly what the luxury tax and what that apron thing in the NBA is and the penalties that are associated with it.
For competitive balance.
And, you know, no owner in their right mind, maybe unless, of course, you're the Dodgers, wants to incur that type of that cost when you shouldn't have to.
Right.
If your baseball people are good, you shouldn't have to do that.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what we've seen from a lot of these different teams that maybe not winning, but, you know, the Rays are always in the mix. You see the Diamondbacks last year in the mix.
And they're in the mix again this year.
Right. I mean, the Houston Astros bottomed out and then built themselves back up with their own players and then couldn't keep everybody, but they kept most of them. Yeah, I mean, that's the way to do it more than just buying everybody.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so you just put yourself in their situation. Do you want to spend like an extra $35 million that you don't have to spend?
No.
It's a penalty.
Of course. You know,
and nobody wants to pay a penalty.
Especially when we're not looking at the bottom line. We're not looking at the money that they're making or losing. I mean, this is, you know, I know that Steve Cohen says it's really, you know, he's losing money. And we talk about how he puts everything through the Mets and there's tax breaks and all of these things. But at the same time, if you're an owner, you don't want to lose money every day.
It's also, right, exactly. He also has an asset that's worth a couple billion dollars.
Sure.
Right. So it's an asset as well. And, you know, I'm sure he enjoys that. And, you know, interesting going to Citi Field. You saw what's going on around that.
Mm-hmm.
You got related over there now. They're starting to build different things. And it's going to be more than just baseball. And it looks like, I don't know if I read this. I think I read this. It sounds like that Sands Casino is coming to Nassau County.
See, I don't know yet. I thought it was going to be still another year or so before they decided that.
All right. So that means,
you're saying that they got one of the downstate licenses?
I don't know.
That would have been big news.
I thought I read that, but I'm just, if they do, that means there's two downstate licenses still available. And who's getting those?
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that is a huge deal.
And that
deal.
Is huge for Steve Cohen and the Mets.
Yep. And that's the one I actually, of all of them, that's the one I like the best.
Well, that's because you don't live there. The people that live there don't like it.
Damn right I don't live there.
Right, exactly.
People but it in that sounds area. Great, man. You slap a casino next to Citi Field and restaurants and hotels, man, I'm in. I mean,
we feel like, okay, you know, that Citi Field, it's over by LaGuardia, but there are people that live in that community that don't want it. Just like people in Nassau County don't want the Sands.
Right. So just go to move to Delaware like everybody else is doing. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. They didn't award any of those downstate licenses yet.
So basically what happened is that there's a review that was done by the legislature that supported, you know, the lease that would go along with the $6 billion project at the Nassau Coliseum. And, you know, reading about all of this stuff, so you know this congestion pricing thing, right?
Yeah.
And so that went by the wayside. So they got to figure out other ways to, you know, raise enough capital to try to support the MTA, because people getting on buses aren't paying. Okay. Like 40% of the riders or something are not paying. But so it looks like they're going to move up what they thought was going to be a late 2025 license approval to maybe at the end of this month.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm reading. So they want to get it going because they want the revenue.
Yeah. Well, that would be huge news when that happens, because there's a lot of big boys that are fighting for those downstate licenses. Stephen Ross and Steve Cohen and Hard Rock and Sands and Nassau County. I mean, it's some serious stuff.
True. You know, personally, for me, I mean, like, Yonkers has been in this business since basically New York State got into the downstate casino business.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you would not support somebody that has been supporting you for so long.
Yeah, that's got to be part of the conversation.
You got to think that's one. Now, what about Aqueduct?
Yeah, I mean, they're all applying, right? I mean,
got one in Times Square.
That's right, with Jay-Z, right?
Yeah.
Part of that?
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, whoever gets the most bribe money going to the right person will get these things, right? That's what it comes down to. A little under the table spot. By the way, Zoo, were you having issues with the board this morning, or were you just being lazy and sloppy? Because there was like four or five issues.
A couple mistakes.
I mean, you let the update music at 5 o'clock run an extra 30 seconds. The music under Karen Stewart didn't play. Jerry was asking for his fader six times. He was like, today, Junior. So what was going on there? Were you just not focused, or were you having issues technically with the board?
No, I was just a little predisposed over here. I had a couple of things going on. That was my fault.
Man.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I like it. He takes accountability.
No, that's a fire me spot, I guess.
Yeah. No. Hand up accountability.
Hey, you know, the other thing I do want to say is that for some reason, on the other side of the glass smells like socks.
Socks.
Yeah, it's like I walked in there yesterday.
Well, they keep the door closed. They can't keep the door closed.
But keep the door open. Like, you guys, both of you wearing socks.
Yes.
You wearing socks, Fliegelman?
Yes, of course.
Oh, change them or do something because the whole thing smells like dirty socks.
They're not taking their shoes off in there.
Are your shoes on right now?
Yes.
Want me to do a leg lift for you?
All right.
I'll do one.
No, that's all right. Please. We're good. We got it. Okay.
Oh, God.
Good
Lord.
God.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like he's going to his gynecologist. I would just, you know, the thing is airflow is a key aspect to, I think.
Especially in this place.
Yeah, because all these rooms are so tight.
Yeah, and it's dirty and whatever. So the door's open right now, but yesterday.
It was closed yesterday, could not find the doorstop, but since I found it, door's propped back open.
All right.
So that's a good thing, because I just felt like yesterday it was very damp and musty and stuffy in there.
It's a damp and musty position, you know?
Mm. What, being in the control room?
Hmm.
It's a damp and musty.
All right. Jerry?
Yeah, we're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door and by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, so let's get to it from yesterday, especially since you guys opened with it. The Yankees sweeping the Phils.
Pitch to LeMahieu. Swung on. Hit deep to left center field. Back goes Rojas, the center fielder. That ball is off the wall. Hayes plays it. One run scores. Two run score. Here comes the third one. That's what we wanted to see from DJ LeMahieu.
The call on the field is overturned. It is a home run.
There it is. A grand slam home run.
And Ricky Ricardo with the call here on The Fan. He also drove in two more with a double. All six RBIs to DJ LeMahieu. Yankees beat the Phillies 6-5. Extend the winning streak to 5 games. All the Yankees thrilled for LeMahieu, who has struggled, as we know. And one of those guys to be happy for him, Alex Verdugo.
DJ was huge. Obviously, everybody in here loves him. You know, he goes about his business the right way. True professional, great teammate. And that's somebody that, you know, we're always going to root for. And, you know, he's been such a great player for so many years that you know that it's always in there for him.
And Verdugo singled, walk, scored twice. Also, Jazz Chisholm, we know, has been great so far in his early going. Here was Verdugo.
Obviously, Jazz coming over here, you know, being an instant spark for us has helped us a lot, too. And, you know, this is that time of the year where, you know, you kind of got to tuck away your own pride and just do whatever it takes to win a game.
Which
they're
doing.
Unless you're Gleyber Torres, who says.
Yeah. That's true, too. That's a very good point. And Giancarlo Stanton had a couple of base hits, had a laser of a single to center field. Then there's David Sampson chiming in on the Jazz Chisholm success. He was on the Lebatard Show with your guy Stu Gotch yesterday.
David Sampson is the
former president of the Marlins.
Right.
2002 to 17, I believe.
And then Derek Jeter came in there.
Correct.
And basically axed them.
Correct. And okay. He goes on Lebatard a lot, I believe. I think they're pretty tight. So
I think he actually works for them.
Oh, is that true? Is that why he's on all the time?
Yeah, I think he's works for the Meadowlark Media and their podcast network. I think he has his own podcast.
Here he is talking about Chisholm.
He's average, Dan. I know you're excited about him because he was on the front of the show. That was all Jeter doing that. All the talk of Jeter being his idol, and it was all ridiculousness.
Certainly sounds like he's not a fan of Chisholm.
Jazz needed to be traded off this team, and the fact that he was given to these, whatever happens with the Yankees is fine. He's not the star. He's not the center of attention. He's gotten off to a good start, and that's going to maybe give him the false sense that he's the center of some amount of attention.
Let me ask a question. Would you fight that voice?
Yes, 100%. I mean, that is a lock. 10 times out of 10, I'm fighting that voice.
Then he went on to say he will struggle, even though it's gone good in the early going.
Wait till he goes 1-for-13 in New York. In Miami, it gets ignored with one camera. In New York, you're on the back page of the Post. So be careful what you wish
Dave.
For.
Dave. Yeah.
I mean, be careful what you wish for. I mean, he's thrust finally into a playoff run here. I mean, on a good team, on a great team, maybe.
There was a reason why he was traded with years of control when he was one of their only good players.
But again,
obviously, he fell out of favor there, but I mean, he fits in better here. And maybe what Sampson is saying is a positive thing for the Yankees and Chisholm, meaning that he can't be the center of attention. He can't be the best player on a team and thrive, and he's not going to be here. So maybe it's perfect.
They were a playoff team last year, were they not?
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
okay.
But I mean, for his all those other years, they were terrible.
Oh, no, I know that. I know that.
You're the star,
they got a wild card.
If you're the star in a team, right, or you're a guy that's on the show or whatever, the cover of the show, whatever, I mean, and you're on a team that habitually loses, even though they did make the playoffs last year, but habitually loses since he got there.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably considered the whole thing like a laughing stock. He went from one of the cheapest organizations in all of sports to one of the most expensive organizations.
And prestigious.
And prestigious, yes.
They call that
prestigious.
Outhouse to the penthouse.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, that's an interesting segue because Brian Cashman was on with BT and Sal in the afternoon yesterday, and we know BT has been critical of Cashman in the past.
Earned the right.
Correct. So I'll play you. Brandon's question was very long. I cut it down as best I could for it to still make sense.
Is there a CeeLo question going on?
To a certain degree, yes. Yeah. This is 30 seconds or so with the question and answer, but he's essentially going after Cashman for the team being way too patient in the past, as to now it seems like they're really trying to win more than they have in recent memory.
Why was Gallo given the leash that he was? Why was Hicks given the leash that he was? Like, I know that Hal wants to win, and I know that you want to win, but the highest of urgency to win, I have not seen that the last couple of years quite the way we used to in the past. I haven't, and I don't think I'm alone. So that's why I ask, like, well, it doesn't feel different with Hal this year at all?
Well, I'd have to get that drug tester over there and let you pee in a bottle so we can get that sample tested.
Let's
so,
go.
I'm obviously joking, but at the end of the day,
send it over. Give me a big fat joint that will all smoke
it. Yeah.
Hey, by the way,
what do you think that drug test would yield with Brandon? A lot
nothing.
Of testosterone?
Yes.
Just be like, no wow, drugs. This is a high level of testosterone in here.
Yeah. Hey, you, kiss my ass.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you know, the Yankees, you know, they're, you know what their payroll number is, the total?
330.
308.
Okay. He went on to talk about, Cashman's defense was, he went on to talk about they brought Colin, they re-signed Judge, they re-upped LeMay, all these
they
things, and all the money
Soto.
They right, and all the money they've spent.
Rizzo, they gave a contract to.
Right. Exactly. Here he was in terms of Soto going forward.
I can't speculate on how it's going to play out. I've done a lot of deals with Scott Boras, and we as an organization, because obviously we're made up of people above me that have the same type of relationship. Randy Levine, Al Steinbrenner.
And they've all dealt with Boras, and who knows in the offseason how it will go. What we do know is the Yankees will be home for the Blue Jays tomorrow. As they
He did say something interesting about the Soto contract or pending free agency, saying that they were thinking about that when considering bringing in players
correct.
At the deadline who were making a lot of money.
Yep.
So I mean, that's an honest answer from Brian Cashman.
That's why the Jazz Chisholm trade makes sense for them financially.
Ton of sense.
Get him here. And they got him here.
Ton of sense.
Right. And
Chisholm.
Not make. He's not making a lot of money, and it's the perfect fit for this team. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to go on and be the MVP of the team, but he's exactly what they needed.
I do think we were Jism free yesterday.
Yeah, which your first day in a very long time.
I could be wrong, but no one sent me anything. I didn't come in here. No one was all that excited, so I'm pretty sure we were free of.
It's the first day. The first day of. No Jism.
Correct.
Jism.
Mets lost to the Twins 8-3. Max Kepler, the go-ahead RBI single and a 5-run third. Matt Wallner with a 2-run homer. Luis Severino, the loss. 6 runs, 3 innings. What was the issue exactly?
Everything. I mean, breaking pitches. I think the only thing that was okay today was as possible. And you can navigate to a lineup with only a fastball.
No, and especially a fastball that at times was at 92, 93, needs to be better. Brandon Nimmo.
I wonder if he needs a break. I do. I wonder if it's
well,
a
that
bit
was
of a
the
dead
theory.
Arm.
I think that was part of the thinking as well when Senga came back that they were going to go to the 6-man rotation, and then he's out again. So I don't know what they do. Maybe he does need time. We shall see.
They just added a starting pitcher, so.
Yeah, Blackburn, who will pitch tomorrow night in Anaheim.
Okay.
All true. Brandon Nimmo did foul a ball off his foot. Says he's fine, though. We'll be ready for August. The Mets now trail Arizona by a half game for the third wild card spot because Arizona won yet again. As we say, the Mets. I did not realize they have 2 West Coast trips in August. 2.
I know the one coming up. I didn't know they had to go back.
They come home for a week, and then they're right back out west.
Oof.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's not a good trip.
No.
Yeah, it's professional baseball, getting paid a lot of money, fly charters. Yeah, it's tough. Staying, you know, four seasons.
You are hilarious.
It's brutal.
At Jed's camp, I bring you back to Tuesday when Rob Sala said this about Aaron Rodgers playing or not playing in the preseason.
That third game is the one where we're deciding. So he definitely won't play the first two, but the discussion on the third one, we just haven't quite had yet.
So Rodgers yesterday, when with the media, Rich Cimini asked about playing in preseason games.
Where do you stand on playing in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, that's Robert's decision. I've never told him I don't want to play in the preseason. There's a lot of thoughts about whether there's any particular gain from it. We used to play all the time.
And he was asked...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We used to play all the time. That's how old he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't played in 2 years. So I would like to see him get a little bit of... And like I said, I don't care. Screen passes, hand the ball off. Just be on the field with your teammates to get back in the flow of things. That's one of the reasons why I think he came back last year to practice, I told you.
Yeah.
Because he just wanted to get back in the flow of things and feel the normalcy of being a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, here's the interesting part. He was asked if not playing in the first two preseason games is injury related.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't have any restrictions. I'm doing keepers, rollouts. So, it was news to me yesterday when he said I wasn't going to play in the first two.
Wow.
Eric sent me that. Thank you.
Yeah. Who's Eric?
Eric Gelfand.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that is, it's just classic Rob Sala.
Like, what are they doing over there?
It's classic Rob Sala and Aaron Rodgers is what it is.
Well, it's true. He is a factor in this whole thing. But, I mean, Rob, the only person that Rob Sala communicates well with is Joe Beningo, apparently. I mean, thank God for drugs.
Oh, man.
That's a pretty sexy threesome.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Here was Garrett Wilson on those heated conversations on the sideline with Rodgers.
I mean, those videos, they look a certain way, and we're both passionate guys out on the football field, you know, and, I mean, I was just telling Jared, like, I'm a different guy out on the field than I am, you know, whenever y'all see me after the game or whatever it may be, and Aaron's kind of the same way, so it's really just a conversation that we're both like-minded.
Like-minded, they both want to win. So there you have it with the Jets. Tonight in Canton, Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans, and the preseason gets underway.
The new kickoff rules debut tonight.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right. Mm-hmm. We will see it tonight. And the U.S. Olympic...
I'm all over it these days. I'm like five for my last five sports minutes.
U.S. men's Olympic basketball team did beat South Sudan 103-86.
You know, speaking of that, I got caught in the Chinese women versus the Serbian women basketball game.
I mean, that is just a sad state of affairs.
I got to tell you, it was a great game. Serbia won, but it was they were up and down the court. I felt like I was watching, the Lakers with Paul Westhead?
What?
Come on. Showtime?
Yeah, Showtime. Wow. That's what it felt like, man.
Okay.
I mean, Serbia's got some girls that can shoot some threes now.
Okay.
Running around out there like Caitlin Clark all over the place. But it was a great game. I got sucked into it.
Look at you. I did watch a good portion of the U.S. South Sudan second half.
I watched the third quarter of that game.
Yeah, not much there.
We got the USA golf today.
Okay.
That's
probably on
golf
right now.
I don't know if it is.
And then to pee or not pee. This is Katie Ledecky won gold in the 1500 meter freestyle. Yahoo Sports went and talked to the American swimmers, asking the question about if they do or don't in the pool.
Do the swimmers pee in the pool before competition?
Yes. You say you don't pee in the pool, you're lying, because everybody's doing it a lot more than you think.
There's only people who tell the truth and the liars, so everybody pees in the pool.
Yes, there's no time for me to get out and to go pee regular, so yes, it's a thing we all do.
Yeah,
never worried about the River Seine.
I don't want to know about this.
I know, exactly. And this is one of my big things with public pools and stuff. Like, I can't. Now, I know that they're competing and they're working hard and it's a little bit different, but you get these animals in these pools and they just sit there and they pee. And then you get these kids who don't get out of the pool because they're playing and they pee. Like, I have sworn off of shared water in that way. Like in a hotel pool or anything. It's just somebody's house that isn't my own. Their pool. I'm not getting in it anymore. Filled with urine.
I always thought a great invention, especially for your own pool, would be some sort of a dye. A clear dye that you could put into your pool so that when someone does, you get the color stream.
Yeah, and it's complete shame.
To embarrass them, yes.
Complete shame.
Exactly. And the U.S. women's soccer team beat Australia 2-1. So first place in Group B. I believe they played Japan in the quarterfinals.
All right, thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We are supposed to win the gold medal in basketball. We understand that. And they better. And they had a win against South Sudan yesterday. But one thing we're struggling in is the three-on-three basketball. Two in a row have been lost. And I saw Jimmer Fredette getting a rub down of sorts from a trainer. It looked like he was having an issue with his groin. And it was a video that went viral as someone was really getting in there. So, I mean, I thought that we were the basketball kings of the world.
Not in this sport.
And in this sport, we stink.
No, I interviewed Jimmer Fredette about this, and he said that the European teams are so far ahead of where we are in this particular game. I don't particularly care for it.
Yeah.
I mean, watching how it plays, it's just like you would have played three on three with your buddies in your backyard if you had a hoop over the garage.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. I mean, and
which is fun when you're a kid, but
it's pretty intense and it's pretty physical. There's no question about it. But I watched some of this yesterday too. I really didn't like it. But he told me that, yes, the fact that they qualified, he thought was good. And you're thinking, okay, well, let's put LeBron out there, Devin Booker out there, and I don't know. I guess
Victor Wembanyama.
Well,
he's from France.
Right. Yeah. So you can take your best, but it's a different type of game the way they play. And I don't know. Just watching this yesterday, the European teams seem to have a better feel for the way the game is being played.
And the women's teams haven't won either in three on three. So and they lost to a team, to a country I have never heard of.
Really?
I feel like I have an idea about world geography.
Okay.
I don't feel like I am in the dark about this. I have never heard of Azerbaijan.
No, Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan. I've never heard of that. Right. Have you guys? You've heard of Azerbaijan?
Yes.
Really?
They're a neighboring country to Armenia, which is where my family's from.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, that makes sense. But, I mean, I didn't know they had an Olympic team, Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 42. I've been watching the Olympics. I've been watching sports.
Not every country has a team the size of the United States or China or Japan or, you know,
I mean,
Australia.
If you're losing to Azerbaijan in anything when you're the U.S., that is a sad.
That is rough. Yeah.
That is really, really rough. I mean, how is Azerbaijan pumping out better basketball players than we have here? That's insane. I mean, how many people are in Azerbaijan?
Oh, look, and they had to take two off the court in order to beat us. That's the way you got to look at it. It's like three-on-three hockey.
I don't know,
man. You know what I'm saying?
Do they? I'd love to see how many athletes they sent. Maybe that's just all they sent. Maybe they just have three people that compete in sports in Azerbaijan, and they're all on this women's three-on-three team. Like, do they have a swimmer?
You know,
Ireland
doesn't have like a full complement of an Olympic team, but they got the one swimmer, that guy Whiffen.
Right, of course.
Guy killed it.
And he did. But like, who else do they have a men's basketball team that is going to take on Team USA?
No, I don't believe they do.
48 athletes from Azerbaijan? Do you have a breakdown of what they're in?
I actually do.
Okay.
And they have a medal already, too, a gold medal in judo.
Really?
Yeah, big judo country, apparently. They have 7 men and 2 women in judo. That's their biggest participating. Oh, I'm wrong. Wrestling is their biggest participating sport. They have 12 there. They have, 9 in judo. They have 7 in gymnastics.
Ooh.
5 boxers.
Oh, man.
Let's see. What do we got? 4 basketball. So I guess that's just a 3-on-3 team.
Right.
And then an archer. Somebody doing track and field, 2 badmintons. Yeah. 7 gymnastics,
this?
So they have a women's gymnastics team competing. I don't know if any of them made any of the events, but
all
there.
Right. And Will is in Long Beach. He claims to be an Azerbaijan expert. What's going on, Will?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
All right, man. What's happening?
Yeah, Zoo kind of stole my thunder. Azerbaijan is a big wrestling country. I always watch the Olympics. I always notice that country. So I looked it up once, and it's like former Soviet bloc. Big soccer, big wrestling. Also, natural gas. Just some fun facts.
Fracking? They do a lot of fracking in Azerbaijan?
That I don't know. But I think if you look up... like, if they have that natural gas mine that broke that just keeps going, they call it something Hold of Hell or something.
Oh, so you're talking about, like, oil or, like, natural gas gas?
No, natural gas.
Interesting, okay.
It's like one big giant fart.
All right. Well, that's interesting, Will. So you're a guy who likes watching wrestling in the Olympics, and then you notice how Azerbaijan has been in a lot of these things, and you had to figure it out like me. Like, when I see that the U.S. women's 3-on-3 team lost to Azerbaijan 20-17, like, I need to know where they're from and who are they.
Exactly. Yeah, I always, even with the opening ceremonies, like, oh, where's that country? I love watching them, but just all the little things. Like, I was watching team archery the other day, China versus South Korea. Just something to throw on to watch.
Are you betting on these things?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, good for you, man. Good for you. I thought that maybe he was betting on team archery or whatever.
Yeah, well.
Is there a golf course in Azerbaijan?
Yeah, I don't know. There may be. No. It's, like you said, it's part of the old Soviet bloc. I wonder when they're going to get invaded.
Oh, Jesus,
we got Georgia, man. Armenia, and Azerbaijan right there on the Caspian Sea.
Yeah, what's their capital there that seems to be on that little hook there with the water? It looks pretty nice.
What it does look that? Pretty nice.
It looks like it's got...
Baku.
Zoo's saying there's a ton of golf courses there, Azerbaijan. What's the top one? We're gonna have a rider right here. Let me go with Savalin.
But there are about like five over here on the peninsula into the sea, so those might be nice.
I mean, it looks like it's on the water there.
Yeah, it is.
It's got to be beautiful.
You would think that it would be beautiful. Yeah,
you would think, but you don't know.
Yeah, it's across the Caspian Sea from Turkmenistan.
Yeah, but you also see, but let's see, there's it's very.
You got Uzbekistan up here. You got Azerbaijan right
you go,
there.
You go due south from Azerbaijan to Baku. You get into Tehran.
Tehran, yes.
And you don't want any of that.
We don't
want
to be.
You don't want that smoke.
You might not. You're probably not going to get there.
You don't want to be anywhere near that.
No,
that might not be there tomorrow.
You think that's a tough place to find yourself? By the way, you know, in that area, you got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, well, you got Afghanistan right there. I mean, you know.
Oof. Man, oh, man. I mean, there's more people probably moving out of Azerbaijan than on Long Island. Michael in Nutley wants to talk some Giants with us. What's going on, Michael?
What's up, Mike?
I'm really tempted to go to Azerbaijan wrestling, but, you know, since we're in New York, I'll go with this one.
Nice.
Quick question, right. You guys have. I'm all fired up from Hard Knocks, and I heard you guys yesterday saying, you know, that the Giants are like plus 1,400 on the division. You know, Eagles didn't have the most amazing finish. Dallas doesn't scare me like they used to. Those are really good odds. I mean, coming off Hard Knocks, don't you a little pumped and say maybe there's a little life in this team? All those ratings you guys have been talking about, as terrible as they are, they're going to be a little better than all that.
Yeah, I do think that the odds are too high for the division. The bet that I would make if you're high on the Giants wouldn't be to win the division. If you want to throw a couple bucks on plus 1,400, you know, go ahead and do it. But don't make a heavy bet on that. But it would be the over-under number. That would be the one. 6.5.
6.5 would be, yeah.
That would be the one I would.
But the problem is you got to, again, like when you look at the Jets schedule, I mean, there's a legitimate reason to think that they could be 6-2 after 8 games.
Yeah.
Because of the quarterbacks that they're going to be playing against.
Mm-hmm.
And because of what they did this offseason and how they should be better, assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to make it.
Right.
So when you look at the Giants schedule, it's a little bit different. And the Giants schedule, they cross over with the AFC North. So that means they're going to see at least three, I believe, top 10 defenses.
But everybody in their division also crosses over in the with the AFC North.
Yeah, but the point being is that their schedule is going to it's tougher. I feel like it's tougher. Like, you know, when you play,
they got to start 2-0 to have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, even the Commanders are going to be a better. I believe the Commanders will be a better team under. You know, they got a new little life going on down there. They got a new owner, new coach, new quarterback potentially. Although I don't necessarily know that he'll start the season.
Yeah,
but maybe he will. I don't know, but. Yeah, I mean, with the Vikings and the Commanders, the Giants are right there with those two teams. And then after that comes the Browns, Cowboys. I guess the Seahawks will be one of those teams that can hang with. Then the Bengals, then the Eagles, then the Steelers. I mean, this is not, you know, I look at the back end of that schedule, Ravens, Falcons, Colts, Eagles.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, 6.5 sounds like the number. You know, it really does. That's why I would stay away from all of it. And I've been victim of falling in love with a team and or thinking a team was going to stink based on Hard Knocks. The worst one ever for me was the Joe Philbin Hard Knocks. I thought that team was going to win 3 games. And they ended up, I think they went to the playoffs maybe that year. They ended up going 8-8 or something, or 9-7. And I bet huge on their under. And they ended up being a decent team. So you can't, it's a TV show. You know, you can't get fired up over the TV show. We got fired up over the Jets and Hard Knocks last year. Look at how that worked out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We are supposed to win the gold medal in basketball. We understand that. And they better. And they had a win against South Sudan yesterday. But one thing we're struggling in is the 3-on-3 basketball. 2 in a row have been lost. And I saw Jimmer Fredette getting a rub down of sorts from a trainer. It looked like he was having an issue with his groin. And it was a video that went viral as someone was really getting in there. So, I mean, I thought that we were the basketball kings of the world.
Not in this sport.
And in this sport, we stink.
No, I interviewed Jimmer Fredette about this, and he said that the European teams are so far ahead of where we are in this particular game. I don't particularly care for it.
Yeah.
I mean, watching how it plays, it's just like you would have played 3-on-3 with your buddies in your backyard if you had a hoop over the garage.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. I mean, and
which is fun when you're a kid, but
it's pretty intense and it's pretty physical. There's no question about it. But I watched some of this yesterday too. I really didn't like it. But he told me that yes, the fact that they qualified, he thought was good. And you're thinking, okay, well, let's put LeBron out there, Devin Booker out there, and I don't know. I guess
Victor Wembanyama.
Well,
he's from France,
right? Yeah. So you could take your best, but it's a different type of game the way they play. And I don't know. Just watching this yesterday, the European teams seem to have a better feel for the way the game is being played.
And the women's teams haven't won either in 3-on-3. So and they lost to a team, to a country I have never heard of.
Really?
I feel like I have an idea about world geography.
Okay.
I don't feel like I am in the dark about this. I have never heard of Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
I've never heard of that. Right. Have you guys? You've heard of Azerbaijan?
Yes.
Really?
They're a neighboring country to Armenia, which is where my family's from.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, that makes sense. But, I mean, I didn't know they had an Olympic team, Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 42. I've been watching the Olympics. I've been watching sports.
Not every country has a team the size of the United States or China or Japan or Australia.
If you're losing to Azerbaijan in anything when you're the U.S., that is a sad.
That is rough. Yeah.
That is really, really rough. I mean, how is Azerbaijan pumping out better basketball players than we have here? That's insane. I mean, how many people are in Azerbaijan?
Oh, look, and they had to take two off the court in order to beat us. That's the way you got to look at it. It's like 3-on-3 hockey.
I don't know,
man. You know what I'm saying?
I'd love to see how many athletes they sent. Maybe that's just all they sent. Maybe they just have three people that compete in sports in Azerbaijan, and they're all on this women's 3-on-3 team. Like, do they have a swimmer?
You know,
Do they have
Ireland doesn't have like a full complement of an Olympic team, but they got the one swimmer, that guy with it.
Right. Of course.
Guy killed it.
And he did. But like, who else do they have a men's basketball team that are going to take on Team USA?
No, I don't believe they do.
48 athletes from Azerbaijan? Do you have a breakdown of what they're in?
I actually do.
Okay.
And they have a medal already too, a gold medal in judo.
Really?
Yeah, big judo country apparently. They have 7 men and 2 women in judo. That's their biggest participating. Oh, I'm wrong. Wrestling is their biggest participating sport. They have 12 there. They have, 9 in judo. They have 7 in gymnastics.
Ooh.
5 boxers.
Oh, man.
Let's see. What do we got? 4 basketball. So I guess that's just a 3-on-3 team.
Right.
And then an archer. Somebody doing track and field. 2 badmintons. Yeah. 7 gymnastics, this? So they have a women's gymnastics team competing. I don't know if any of them made any of the events, but
all there. Right. And Will is in Long Beach. He claims to be an Azerbaijan expert. What's going on, Will?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
All right, Will. What's happening?
Yeah, Zoo kind of stole my thunder. Azerbaijan is a big wrestling country. I always watch the Olympics. I always notice that country. So I looked it up once, and it's like former Soviet bloc. Big soccer, big wrestling. Also, natural gas. Just some fun facts.
Fracking? They do a lot of fracking in Azerbaijan?
That I don't know. But I think if you look up, if they have that natural gas mine that broke that just keeps going, they call it something Hole to Hell or something.
Oh, so you're talking about like oil or like natural gas? Gas?
No, natural gas, gas.
Interesting. Okay,
like one big giant fart.
All right. Well, that's interesting, Will. So you're a guy who likes watching wrestling in the Olympics, and then you notice how Azerbaijan has been in a lot of these things, and you had to figure it out, like me. Like when I see that the U.S. women's 3-on-3 team lost their Azerbaijan 20-17, like I need to know where they're from and who are they.
Exactly. Yeah, I always even with the opening ceremonies, like, oh, where's that country? I love watching Olympics, just all the little things. Like, I was watching team archery the other day, China versus South Korea. Just something to throw on to watch.
Are you betting on these things?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, good for you, man. Good for you. I thought that maybe he was betting on team archery or whatever.
Yeah, well.
Is there a golf course in Azerbaijan?
Yeah, I don't know. There may be. No, it's like he said, it's part of the old Soviet bloc. I wonder when they're going to get invaded.
Jesus,
we got Georgia, man. Armenia, and Azerbaijan right there on the Caspian Sea.
Yeah, what's their capital there that seems to be on that little hook there with the water? It looks pretty nice.
What it does look that? Pretty nice.
It looks like it's got...
Baku.
Zoo's saying there's a ton of golf courses there. Azerbaijan. What's the top one? We're going to have a Ryder Cup. Let me go under Savalin.
But there are about like five over here on the peninsula into the sea, so those might be nice.
I mean, it looks like it's on the water there.
Yeah, it is.
It's got to be beautiful.
You would think that would be beautiful, yeah.
You would think, but you don't know.
Yeah, it's across the Caspian Sea from Turkmenistan.
Yeah, but you also see, there's it's very close to Iran.
You got Uzbekistan up here. You got Azerbaijan right there.
You go due south from Azerbaijan and Baku, you get into Tehran.
Tehran, yeah.
And you don't want any of that.
We don't want to be.
You don't want that smoke.
You're probably not going to get there.
You don't want to be anywhere near that.
No.
That might not be there tomorrow.
You think? That's a tough place to find yourself, by the way. You know, in that area, you got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, well, you got Afghanistan right there. I mean, you know.
Oof. Man, oh, man. I mean, there's more people probably moving out of Azerbaijan than on Long Island. Michael in Nutley wants to talk some Giants with us. What's going on, Michael?
What's up, Mike?
I'm really tempted to talk about Azerbaijan wrestling, but, you know, since we're in New York, I'll go with this one.
Nice.
Quick question, right. You guys. I'm all fired up from Hard Knocks, and I heard you guys yesterday saying, you know, that the Giants are like plus 1,400 on the division. You know, Eagles didn't have the most amazing finish. Dallas doesn't scare me like they used to. Those are really good odds. I mean, coming off Hard Knocks, I'm just a little pumped and say maybe there's a little life in this team. All those ratings you guys have been talking about, as terrible as they are, they're going to be a little better than all that.
Yeah, I do think that the odds are too high for the division. The bet that I would make if you're high on the Giants wouldn't be to win the division. If you want to throw a couple bucks on plus 1,400, you know, go ahead and do it. But don't make a heavy bet on that. But it would be the over-under number. That would be the one. 6.5.
6.5 would be, yeah.
That would be the one I would.
But the problem is you got to, again, like when you look at the Jets schedule, I mean, there's a legitimate reason to think that they could be 6-2 after 8 games.
Yeah.
Because of the quarterbacks that they're going to be playing against.
Mm-hmm.
And because of what they did this offseason and how they should be better, assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to make it.
Right.
So when you look at the Giants schedule, it's a little bit different. And the Giants schedule, they cross over with the AFC North.
Yeah.
So that means they're going to see at least three, I believe, top 10 defenses.
But everybody in their division also crosses over with the AFC North.
Yeah, but the point being is that their schedule is going to it's tougher. I feel like it's tougher. Like, you know, when you play,
they got to start 2-0 to have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, even the Commanders are going to be a better. I believe the Commanders will be a better team under. You know, they got a new little life going on down there. They got a new owner, new coach, new quarterback potentially. Although I don't necessarily know that he'll start the season.
Yeah,
but maybe he will. I don't know, but. Yeah, I mean, with the Vikings and the Commanders, the Giants are right there with those two teams. And then after that comes the Browns, Cowboys. I guess the Seahawks will be one of those teams that can hang with. Then the Bengals, then the Eagles, then the Steelers. I mean, this is not, you know, I look at the back end of that schedule, Ravens, Falcons, Colts, Eagles.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, 6.5 sounds like the number. You know, it really does. That's why I would stay away from all of it. And I've been victim of falling in love with a team and or thinking a team was going to stink based on Hard Knocks. The worst one ever for me was the Joe Philbin Hard Knocks. I thought that team was going to win 3 games. And they ended up, I think they went to the playoffs maybe that year. They ended up going 8-8 or something, or 9-7. And I bet huge on their under. And they ended up being a decent team. So you can't, it's a TV show. You know, you can't get fired up over the TV show. We got fired up over the Jets and Hard Knocks last year. Look at how that worked out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.